with experience as a public speaker, author, preacher, history professor, college dean, and faculty president, Dr. Tim Holder knows a little something about leadership. As Christians, we're all called to be leaders. Let's talk about what that looks like. You're listening to The Leading Edge with Tim Holder.
Good morning. I'm glad that you could tune in. This is Tim Holder. You're listening to The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder. Our guest, who will be joining us shortly, is a friend of mine named Britt Mooney. I met Britt a few years ago at a Christian Writers Conference. We've continued to cross paths. We're actually working on a book together that hopefully will be out. It'll be a couple of years, but I'm excited about it. It was Britt's idea for the book, and we're working on a novel that will tie into our backgrounds. He, many years ago, was a history teacher, and I've got a little bit of history in my background, and so he thought it'd be good if we made much of that and did a book together. But Britt is a guy who's pretty well-rounded when it comes to the things that he does, and so that's something that appeals to me since I wear a few different hats in the things that I do. But Britt is an author. He's a church planter. He's a bivocational pastor who, in addition to working with a church and being a writer, is also involved in a business that sells coffee. He's a former missionary. He's a former school teacher. And so he knows a lot about leadership. He's a husband and a father. And one of the things that I want to talk about, really the main theme of the show this week as we look at leadership, is the importance of words, what we say and how we say it. And there's a story that I share from one of my books called Presidential Stories. And it's about Abraham Lincoln. And because Presidential Stories is a devotional, the scripture that I used for this story is James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so this thing that happened to Abraham Lincoln, he ended up writing multiple letters to a woman named Mary Owens in an effort to discourage her from the idea of marrying him. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, didn't Lincoln marry a woman named Mary? Yes, he did. He married a woman named Mary Todd. This is a different Mary. What had happened was Mary Owens went to the city that Lincoln lived in to visit her sister. And Lincoln met Mary Owens, and after she left, Lincoln was so taken with her that he said to some people, if she ever came back to town, he was going to marry her. Unfortunately, he said this in front of the wrong person, and it actually got back to Mary Owens. And she thought, hey, that's a great idea. Young, up-and-coming lawyer, he's going places, he's funny, he's tall. And so she thought, well, I think I want to make the most of this. But Lincoln had second thoughts. He decided after some time to contemplate it that maybe Mary Owens was not the woman for him. But he knew she was coming back to town, and he knew that she'd heard what he'd been saying. And so he wrote to her a letter to kind of discourage her, and it apparently didn't work. So he had to write her another one. And basically he said, you know, if you moved to this town and got married, well, you'd probably be really unhappy because the streets are muddy and it's hard to make a living here. And even a hardworking lawyer could be poor. And you just really would need to think things through. And so she finally got the hint. Lincoln had never officially proposed. And so he's able to get out of this, but clearly he'd said too much. And so it is with us. We can be too incautious with our words. Sometimes we speak up too soon. We don't have all the facts. Sometimes we speak up with language that is too extreme for the situations. And just there are times when we would do well to meditate on the middle part of James' advice in the scripture that I read. There are times when we should be slow to speak. And so this idea of the importance of words, it resonates with me as a public speaker, as a preacher, as a history professor. I'm well acquainted with getting up in front of people and talking. And the thing about those professions is usually I've got time to rehearse what I'm going to say. And even then, things can get a little wonky. I was going to preach one Sunday night at a church. It was Wallace Memorial Baptist Church, where I was a member for many years. And there was a mother in the church who told her son, "Hey, Tim Holder's going to preach tonight." And her son replied, "Oh, you mean that guy who doesn't use contractions when he preaches?" And so that's kind of a peculiar thing. That's kind of a peculiar way to communicate, to not use contractions at all. And I guess I'd picked up that habit from being a history professor and wanting to slow myself down for students who were taking notes. But my point is, you know, even when we prepare what we're going to say over and over again, sometimes some weirdness can creep in. Sometimes it's harmless, as was the case with my failure to use contractions. But sometimes what we say can really get us into trouble. And so as leaders, as followers of Christ, it's important for us to be very careful about what we say and how we say it. We can get one of those right and still mess up the other one. We can communicate the right words, but sometimes we can speak too harshly. Or we can communicate a loving attitude, but maybe sometimes not tell people what they need to hear. And so we're going to try to strike that balance, and we're going to see what Britt Mooney can tell us to help us along those lines. And so I'm excited about having him on this morning. I am glad to be here with you, and I'm glad that you've had the opportunity to tune in. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments on The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Leading Edge with Tim Holder, and our guest today, as I mentioned in our first segment, is Britt Mooney, a preacher, a church planter, a podcaster, and a writer of both fiction and nonfiction. So he knows all about the importance of using the right words. I met Britt a few years ago at a Christian Writers Conference, and Britt, I got a question for you. There's a lot of different directions we could go when talking about the importance of words, but you, as a person who writes sermons, do you write the whole sermon out? Do you make yourself bullet-pointed notes? Do you just stand up there and wing it?
I like to give more bullet-pointed notes sort of thing. I can wing it. I think that it's important to know a topic well enough that you can speak on it somewhat spontaneously. You know, the whole principle in the scripture of always be ready to give an answer mm-hmm. for the hope that is within you sort of thing. But generally speaking, you know, I did a wedding this past weekend, and, you know, I just had a couple bullet points for the flow. And for me, as I've spoken enough times, as long as I have kind of the bullet points and I know sort of how much time I have, I've gotten pretty good at kind of keeping it under that time. So there's a combination of winging it, but also I have sort of the bullet points to kind of remind me of the flow of what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting. For me, I will type out what I'm going to say and then rehearse it a lot, because when you're preaching, it's a spoken mode of communication. And so I'll spend more time rehearsing what I'm going to say than I actually spend writing it. And so I'll refer to my notes very little. And so I'll usually write stuff out unless it's a story. And then I'll just have enough information on the paper to remind myself of what the story is and the point. But apparently, there's a fine tradition of winging it in many churches. Somebody was telling me that that's just a way that some people do it. And it, I assume, harkens back to the scripture that you referenced about being ready to give an account of our faith. But it just, it's interesting, in other areas we value preparation, but then we don't have the scriptural reference to always being ready. So, Britt, I've introduced you a little bit saying, you know, the different hats that you wear, basically, but I didn't really give you a chance to say hello and describe who you are to our listeners. Who are you, Britt Mooney?
Well, first of all, just let me say it's great to be on here with you, Tim. You know, people may not know, but, you know, Tim and I work a lot together, so I consider you a good friend, and so this is great, and I appreciate being on here. But for who I am, you know, ultimately I'm just a guy trying to follow Jesus, do what he says. That's kind of the core lesson. But then beyond that, the roles that I have, so I am a church planter. I also work bivocationally for a coffee company called Phoenix Roasters. And beyond that, I do some podcasting and I do some writing. I've been published several times and I do articles and that sort of thing. So, and also, you know, maybe most importantly, I'm a dad and I'm a husband and a son and, you know, have a great family. So those are kind of all the major roles that I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me say this. I appreciate the shout out for the friendship there. I've enjoyed getting to know you over the years. We've been at a few Christian writers conferences together. We're working on a project now together that we're both pretty excited about. And so it's kind of neat just the overlap in our lives. You know, as you were a history teacher at one point in your past, is that correct? Or was it just a degree in history? Okay, yeah, a history teacher's, yeah. So we've got these commonalities, common threads in our lives that is pretty cool. You know, when you find someone, you think, oh, I can relate to that person in these different ways. And so the theme today, the show in general is about leadership, but the theme today is the importance of words. And with a lot of hats that you wear, words are particularly important. And it's interesting for me as somebody who does a little bit of preaching. I do some pulpit supply, and I did an interim preaching position a while back. It's interesting to me hearing other preachers. And there was a preacher that I knew who would basically communicate this idea that because his message was from the Lord each week, if you had a problem with his words, you really didn't have a problem with him, you had a problem with God. And I've heard another preacher who prays every Sunday in front of the congregation, if any of his words are not from the Lord, that they would fall to the ground and quickly be forgotten. And so as somebody who gets in the pulpit and speaks from God's word, where do you fall, Britt, on that continuum of, hey, people need to listen to what I'm saying because I've prayed about this and these are the words of the Lord, and hey, I'm just a sinner. And sometimes I might get it wrong. Where are you at there?
Well, so for me, you know, the balance is there are a couple different disciplines that I have to be good at, right? The first discipline is I have to be good at listening to what God is saying, right? Mm-hmm. That's one discipline. That's a discipline everyone should have. But the core of me speaking truth is being able to hear it and understand it, but communication is another level of discipline, right? It's a skill, and so when you speak in front of people, the way that you speak and the way that you conduct yourself, and there are a whole lot of parts of it that I'm not going to say keep people from listening or make it easier to listen, because ultimately it's a spiritual thing, but there are some elements that we have to be disciplined about in the sense of, and I'm just thinking of when Paul said, you know, pray for me so that when I speak the gospel that I'm not found a counterfeit, right? Like we have to be aware that our own testimony, the way that we live, the way that we say things, the way that we present certain ideas matter, because we're supposed to speak the truth in love. So, you know, there's a lot of people who just watch. I'm just going to speak the truth. I'm just going to be honest. And well, that's good, but people can kind of tell when you're speaking it in love. And so that's a personal motivation issue, but it's also a communication issue. Like, Well, how are you communicating these truths that, yes, should definitely be challenging and should maybe make people uncomfortable at times, but at the same time, there should be the love that that makes people see that it's not just a, it's not an argument, it's not just some sort of intellectual exercise. Like, there's love behind the challenge or the correction or whatever's happening, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it's a little of both. You know, I do have to speak truth, and I'm going to be held accountable for speaking what God tells me. But at the same time, I can get better at writing, at speaking in front of people, at doing it in such a way that makes it clear and lets people know that I'm doing it from a place of love, you know?
Yeah, you certainly communicated the complexity of it. I mean, I gave it to you as kind of an either-or, and you talked about the many levels of what you're communicating and how you're communicating it. And it reminded me of something I've talked about on this show before, this idea from the author Tim Downs that communication is both an art and a science. And so there's, you know, what we're called to say, but then there's the how we are called to say it. And so, you know, as you pointed out, we've got to communicate the truth, but we've got to do it in love. And so for me, maybe it's my theology and maybe it's my history background. I see a lot of people, maybe well-intentioned, doing things that they say are in the name of Christ, and sometimes they go very badly. And so, you know, we are sinners, and sometimes we might get it wrong, either the what we're saying or how we're saying it or how we're interpreting it, or, you know, the audience that's hearing us at that point, maybe what we're saying is the truth, but it's not the piece of the truth that they need in that moment. And so it's just, it's a tricky thing. And so I appreciate. Oh, go ahead.
I've got a great story along those lines.
I like great stories.
So I was married for maybe 6 months. It was within the first year of marriage. Let's put it that way. And I was, you know, in my 20s, and my wife and I were having a discussion, a conversation, and the next thing I knew, my wife had left the room and went and locked herself in the bathroom.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, what just happened? I was completely floored. Because there was no conflict. We weren't arguing. I was we were discussing a topic. And so now she's in the bathroom, had locked herself away. And I'm like, what just happened? And I'm trying to talk to her through the bathroom door. And she said, you were yelling at me. And I was like, yelling at you? Like, again, like, this wasn't like we were talking about any sort of issue between us or anything. We were talking about some third-party topic about education or whatever it was. But it was the way I was expressing my thoughts. Like, from her cultural background, her family culture, raising your voice, being that passionate, I was yelling at her, right? And for me, from a very Irish, German family, very Irish, you know, you didn't really believe what you said unless you were kind of yelling it, you know. I had to learn, and we had to learn sort of how to listen to each other and realize that yes, so what I was saying wasn't wrong. She didn't even have a problem with what I was saying. It was just the way I was saying it and the way she was receiving it. And again, you can't always control that, but you can become a better communicator and learn that there are some ways to kind of encapsulate truth in a way that's makes it more receptive. And Jesus did the same thing. He told stories.
Yeah.
And yes, some of that was, but there were reasons he told stories. And in fact, the Bible says he never taught without a story. And so we have to see that, again, people still didn't hear, right? He still said, let those who have ears to hear, you know, let them hear. You know, like, there's still a spiritual element to it that I can't, it's all up to God and his choosing of who hears what. But at least let it not be that I was a jerk, right?
Right.
At least let it be that it wasn't my fault that I was a jerk, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Ultimately, we can't control how the other person takes the message, but we can do our part. And it reminds me of something that I read in a in a speech communications textbook when I was a college freshman well over 30 years ago. And it was, communication is not what is said, communication is what is heard. Mm. And so, yeah, so that goes back to the whole, it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. Now, we're going to go to break in just a moment, but when we come back, I'm going to want Britt to share what his book, How God-Sized Dreams Take Flight. I want him to share his views or what that book is about. It is on my Christmas list of something that I hope will be purchased for me from my wife. So I'm looking forward to reading it. So don't spoil too much. But we will talk about that. We've got Britt Mooney, author and preacher, on the phone, on the air, and we'll be talking to him again in just a moment. Okay, you're listening to The Leading Edge with Tim Holder and our guest this week, Britt Mooney, podcaster, preacher, author, businessman. All right, so Britt, you have written several fiction books, but you've also written the nonfiction book, How God-Sized Dreams Take Flight. What's that about?
Yeah, so, you know, the title is Say Yes. So, you know, the main title there is Say Yes. And basically, the book is about the kind of the God story of our coffee company. So along with being a church planner, our church network, we have a coffee company that we work part-time with. The pastors work part-time with the coffee company to raise money for missions and church planting and relief efforts kind of around the world and in America. So this book kind of came from a lot of the God stories from us at church and the coffee company, because we would go to different conferences, we'd go to different places, and we'd tell these stories, and people would inevitably say, you should write a book about that. And they were great stories. And so, but we didn't just want to write our story, because not everyone is called to start a coffee company. So we wanted to write our story, but then transition at the end of every chapter to kind of ask people what God's calling them to do. Because the secret of our story and what makes it a God story is that a lot of that, this wasn't our plan. A lot of it, most of it, if not all of it, was all God's plan. And he interrupted our lives at different points and in different ways, supernaturally or however he did it, and then put us on a different path. And our only claim to fame is that we agreed with the plan, that we said yes. That was it. Like, that was really the only thing that made us a part of it. It wasn't that we were, like, we didn't think, let's start this really cool missional coffee company where we've got the best coffee and we're sending, you know, 100 missionaries around the world and we're doing this thing with all the stuff that we're doing with the coffee company. That was never the plan. It was just one step after another of God telling us to do something. And as crazy as it might sound, we would say yes, and then we would see God move. And so the book is telling our story, but then also transitioning and really encouraging the reader to think, what's God asking you to do? What are some of those steps for you? Because it's my belief that, you know, we live in a really crazy world, and the world's always been crazy, at least since the time of the fall, right? It's always been kind of crazy. And but what the world needs is to see people living those God stories, to see people living those stories, because it's creative, it's adventurous, it gives people hope. And that's why people would tell us, you got to write it down, you got to put it in a book, because when they see that, you know, we would do these crazy things and God would take care of us, or just something would explode and it would be great, you know, people are like, they'd be inspired. And that's the kind of stuff that this world needs to see, out of Christians and out of people who believe in God, because, yes, we should go to church and we should stand for what's right. And, I'm not saying we don't do any of that, but that doesn't inspire people. What inspires people is, I did this crazy thing, and now look what God has done. And it just kind of gives people a testimony of this is another world, where that runs by different rules, So that's the book, Say Yes, How God-Sized Dreams Take Flight. And that's kind of the process of kind of going through our story and then getting people to re-examine their own story along the way.
Yeah, so several things that I have to say in response to that. One, I'm sorry I'm not a better friend, as I continued to repeat the subtitle of the book, making it impossible for people to find, so sorry about that. Two, it goes back to your point of how Jesus communicated through stories, and there's a story in everything, and so it's cool for me that you're trying to communicate this idea of pursuing these God-sized dreams, but you're doing it through your story, the story of your company, and that's cool. And I also think this is an excellent idea for a book, because all of us as believers are called to something. And so Sometimes we tend to think that a calling, oh, that's what a preacher gets or that's what a missionary gets. But no, we're all called to live out the Great Commission. And so maybe the God-sized dream for you, the listener, is figuring out how to communicate your faith to your next-door neighbor. And so for you, in your situation, that might be this huge leap of faith, and you don't know how to get your conversation to that point with that person. And so I think this book could really be an encouragement, to a whole lot of believers. So that's excellent. Say Yes, How God-Sized Dreams Take Flight. And if someone's trying to look you up on Amazon, you are M.B. Mooney. Is that correct?
Well, that's the fiction, but for the Say Yes book, it's under Britt, B-R-I-T-T, Mooney.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So that's good to know. All right. Now, we're talking about words and the importance thereof and communication. And so for you, what is a recurring theme for you? Like, what is the word? What is the idea that you tend to fall back on as you communicate with people? Like, for me, I want to be an encourager. I want to encourage people to keep growing in their faith and to encourage people for the progress they've already made. Like, okay, you're doing okay and you can keep going. We're supposed to keep growing. We're supposed to continue to become new creations in Christ. And so Barnabas in the Bible is inspiring to me, a guy known for being an encourager. So for you, what is there like a theme, like a go-to for you? You talked earlier about communicating the truth, but doing it in love. Is that kind of your communicating in love?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking from Scripture specifically, I've been really meditating a lot on Ruth, the book of Ruth, over the past few months. There's something about that story that really draws me in. Here's a woman who is from a different land. She's a Gentile from a land, I think the Moabites, right, who are kind of a really shady past. You want to get into it with, the whole nation of Moab was born of, like, incest with Lot. It's some crazy stuff. And yet, because of her character... And the Bible never says that she's pretty. I mean, I'm not saying she wasn't, but, like with Rebecca and Sarah and Rachel, like in the Old Testament, they keep going back to how beautiful these women are, and that they had character too. But with Ruth, it just goes into her character and how Boaz was attracted to her because of her character, that she chose to not give up on her mother-in-law. She chose to serve. She chose to go to a foreign land. Like there's so much bravery, and it was all self-sacrifice for the good of someone else. And because of that, her whole, not only is her, does she get a cool husband who's wealthy and yada, 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 and she gets a kid, and, but she's even inserted and becomes a major part of the story of David and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she's in the lineage. And so as far as leadership is concerned, I mean, that's just one story I've been thinking of so often, because I think so often we think, you know, what can I do? Who am I? But man, just sometimes I've told people, man, if you want to know your purpose, just start serving people. Just start loving them. Like, sometimes we get in this sort of, what's my dream? And then we don't get involved in anything because we don't know what our dream is. And I think God's just waiting on us sometimes. We just start serving people where we are. And like we talk about in the book, and it has been my experience in life, he will give you the opportunities. Like, it'll be just out of nowhere. He'll give you opportunities just like Ruth did. And just like Ruth had. And the other one is an easy one, is David. I think you could do a whole book on leadership just from David's life. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's political intrigue, there's betrayal, there's his failures and repentance, there's, you know, he made all sorts of really amazing political leadership decisions along the way, but I won't get into all of them, but just, like, you know, when you really read into what he's doing and why, who he chooses to be his commanders and all of these sort of things, like, he's making very calculated decisions, but he was also a man of faith and all of those sort of things. So David is someone else, I think, that if we really kind of read through, we see a lot of leadership lessons in his life.
I'd never really thought about what you'd said about Ruth and how the Bible doesn't comment on her appearance, even though it does comment on the appearance of other women. And, you know, even some of the men, it talks about how, you know, they were admired for their looks and all of that. And so with Ruth, it really was her character that shined, and that was what was rewarded. So that's really cool. I was going to ask you to name a book that kind of resonated with you because of, you know, the message that it communicated. And so it's cool that you took us to Ruth and her story. I think Philippians is pretty inspiring because it's got such an upbeat tone, and Paul is in jail as he's writing it. And so, you know, to be focusing on the positive in the midst of difficult times, I think, is a pretty powerful message. And so it's cool also that you talked about the leadership of David, because that's where I wanted to go next, was to ask you, is there a leader, since we're talking about words and this is a program about leadership, is there a leader who you admire the rhetoric of? You admire kind of the things they say or how they said them or something. Is that too random of a question for a guy with a history background?
No, it's not too random. I mean, you know, it may be somewhat triggering for some people, but I think Ronald Reagan was an amazing communicator. Mm-hmm. You love him or hate him, he was an amazing communicator. And you know, you still look back on some videos of his speeches, and they still resonate. It's short, to the point. He's funny. He says things of value. So he's, of course, you know, I was alive during his time, so I just really remember just how people reacted to him and loved him. And so, you know, he basically swept elections twice. You know, he was just so popular. And then I think someone like A.W. Tozer is someone that I go back to a lot. He's not necessarily a modern communicator. He's a little more in your face than maybe some modern readers and listeners would appreciate. But I love his thinking. I love his sort of simple dedication to the message of Christ and the Spirit. And just how challenging and radical he was. You know, I think Jesus was worth that level of commitment and of delving into the deep truths, because it's just so wonderful. You know, his book, Knowledge of the Holy, is in my top five, just so how he goes into the different aspects of God and his omnipotence and omnipresence and those sort of things. It's just So I love A.W. Tozer for a lot of those reasons.
And so the show really is not too political, but you give a good example of a great communicator. I believe Reagan was called the great communicator. And, you know, the nation had 4 years of him, and then when he ran for re-election, he won 49 out of 50 states. So for the people who knew him, they were pretty happy with what they were getting. We are running up against another commercial break here, Britt, but just real quick, can you give the listeners website information?
Yeah, so to check out my website, go to brittmooney.com, so BRITTMOONEY.com, and you can get there's a free book to download on there, and you can also check out my podcast, and there's a link to the book, Say Yes, and all that stuff too, so there you go.
Britt, thank you very much for being with us today. It was fantastic to talk to you. I look forward to the next time you and I get the opportunity to get together. Take care, buddy. And we'll be right back on the Leading Edge on Joy 620. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Britt Mooney, who's been my guest on The Leading Edge. This is Tim Holder, and Britt was just such a fascinating guy to talk to. He's really a good guy to be around. The last writers' conference I was at, people were asking before he got there, is Britt here yet? Oh, I can't wait to see Britt. So it's just kind of funny the other writers treat him like a celebrity, and I was going to ask him what his secret was, but the conversation was just flowing so smoothly, we didn't get the chance to do that. But his book, Say Yes, How God-Sized Dreams Take Flight, sounds like a really excellent book to read. I think it'd probably be a great Christmas gift for people. So Britt had some really fascinating things to say about how we serve the Lord that I thought were pretty cool. There are a lot of times where we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And so Britt's advice was to, hey, just start serving. And it reminded me of something that I read in an interview with a Christian music artist many years ago. The artist's name was Brian Duncan, if that rings a bell for any of the listeners. He was with a Christian music group called Sweet Comfort Band in the 1970s and early 80s, and then has had a pretty successful solo career after that. But he used the phrase in an interview, "Bloom where you are planted." And it reminded me of that when Britt said, we just need to serve right where we're at. And so, you know, we can aspire to do something down the road somewhere, but we're still called to serve. We're called to make a difference for the Lord. And that's pretty cool. As Britt was mentioning, great communicators who kind of inspire him, it was cool for me that he mentioned a president and a theologian, Ronald Reagan and A.W. Tozer. Some of the presidents whose rhetoric I admire, as we talk about the importance of words, I appreciate Lincoln's humor, of course. And there's this quotation from Theodore Roosevelt, "Pray not for lighter burdens, but for stronger backs." I've always thought that was a cool, you know, for many of us, we don't really want to work harder than we have to work. But this idea that we don't pray that things get easier, just pray to get tougher enough to deal with it. I think that's a good prayer a lot of times. And Theodore Roosevelt, you know, that word pray was probably not just a throwaway word for him. Roosevelt taught Sunday school when he was a college student. And so I thought that was kind of a neat thing to learn about him. When he went off to college, he started teaching a Sunday school class at an Episcopal church, even though he was an Episcopalian. And so there's a lot there about that guy that is interesting to me as a leader, as somebody who was really good with words, as we talk about the importance of words. So Britt, it was also interesting, you know, a lot of times when people talk about stuff in the Bible, they're reminding us of truths that we've already learned. And so it was cool for me that Britt talked about Ruth and how her beauty is not commented on as much as it's commented on regarding other individuals in the Old Testament. But her character stood out. And that was what created opportunities. And obviously the Lord working in her life, but that was what God worked through. And so that was, I don't know, I think sometimes the women of the Bible might tend to get overlooked. Like, you know, we talk about Ruth a little bit. We talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, a little bit, but usually we just mention her around Christmas and Easter time. And it, I think it's unfortunate because there's a lot that we can learn from the lives of these women. And so this week, again, the focus of the show was on the importance of words. Obviously, when it comes to leadership, it matters what you do, but it also does matter, as Britt and I discussed, what you say and how you say it both. Obviously, words mean a lot to me as someone who preaches, as somebody who goes out and does public speaking. I'm very conscious of what I say and how I say it when I've got an opportunity like that where I can practice in advance. And even then, you know, as I mentioned in the first part of the program, things can go a little bit wonky even when you're prepared. But certainly, when we're just speaking off the cuff with people, our words can get us in trouble. And that's why it's important that we as believers are invested in prayer and Bible study and meditating on Scripture and contemplating who the Lord wants us to be. That kind of internal work helps us when things come up and we're responding in the moment. Speaking of words and me being a speaker, if you're somebody who needs a speaker for a thing, I would hope that you would keep me in mind. If you need a speaker, or if you have an idea for someone to speak on this show, if there's somebody who you think, you know, that person would be a good person to hear talk on a radio show about leadership, my contact information is timothydholder@gmail.com, timothydholder@gmail.com. So, if you have a notion of like a coach or a business leader or a preacher, and you would be interested in what they would have to say about leadership, I would certainly love to hear from you. So thank you for taking part of your valuable time, especially during this Christmas season, to carve out a little time to listen to the show. You are appreciated. You are listening to Joy 620, and I am Tim Holder, and you've been listening to The Leading Edge with Dr. Tim Holder. Hope you'll join us next week. Bye-bye.